Right, we continue in our study on Proverbs, wisdom from Proverbs. And tonight I want to look at the idea of diligence, because this is an important topic in Scripture, and we find exhortations to be diligent in many different books in the Bible. And in Proverbs it's no exception. It has a lot to say about the subject of being diligent. Diligence is contrasted with laziness or with someone who deals with a slack hand, because this impoverishes, makes one poor. As Proverbs 10 and verse 4 says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Laziness is not only foolish in the sense that the lazy person harms himself with respect to the quality of life on this earth, but laziness is a sin against God. From the beginning, man was created to be industrious. Genesis 2:15, God said, "He took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." He was meant to work and labor and be productive. Laziness is the fruit of the fall, and fallen man's natural flow is toward laziness. We need to realize that is the inclination of our nature, is towards laziness. Redemption in Jesus Christ has to do with restoration in the whole of life, and fundamental to this restoration is diligence in laboring for the kingdom. The writer to Ecclesiastes in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." It's the same idea of diligence, industry. Paul put it this way in speaking to the Colossians, and he said, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Colossians 3 verse 23. Scripture regards a slothful person as a wicked person. And in Jesus' parable about the servants that were given different talents and told to multiply them, that servant that refused to take that talent and multiply it, to be diligent about doing this, was not only called lazy but also wicked by Christ in Matthew 25 and verse 26. "You are not only lazy but you are wicked." Ultimately, the lazy person is deceitful because he gives the appearance of doing work when he actually is not. And this is not merely talking about deceiving one's employer, because the reason man exists is to serve and glorify God. And when his hand is not diligently doing this, he's deceiving himself. He's rebelling against God, against God's command to be diligent, to be about this work that God has given us to do. Proverbs 10 verse 5 says, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." Inseparable from diligence is the idea of opportunity. The time to harvest is set, and thus the diligent person orders his life in terms of the opportunity. The opportunity is now, and the diligent person is able to deal with that. The lazy person puts it off. Joseph worked very hard for 7 years in Egypt, gathering into the storehouse the extra grain with the abundant harvests that were coming in. One has to realize how much grain was stored up. The amount of people that were fed with the grain that was stored up for those 7 years was just phenomenal. And appreciate how diligent Joseph had to be in order to do that, and doing it in the context of this great abundance, where the tendency is to waste, because you can't see. When you're in great abundance, it's very difficult to understand scarcity. You need to really appreciate how Joseph was diligent. It was a lifestyle that enabled him to function in that way. The lazy person doesn't recognize his opportunities and doesn't have much regard for the future, and thus he sleeps during harvest time. He's not prepared for that which is coming. Now, while the proverb is talking about agricultural activities, its application is for every situation when someone doesn't recognize the opportunity before him and thus blows it off as something minor or something that will always be available. I don't have to avail myself of this opportunity. He who sleeps in harvest time is not hungry in harvest time. Do you realize that? He's very full and satisfied in harvest time and he just keeps sleeping. Fields are there, he goes out and grabs something off the fields, very easy to find the food, bring it in, and so he's eating, he's fine. Everything seems good, nothing's going to change, life is just going on day after day. And that's how he's approaching it. His need is going to be revealed sometime in the future when the time for harvesting has passed. And suddenly he's going to wake up and say, "I'm in trouble." An important aspect of diligence has to do with embracing opportunities that are given to us in God's timing and in God's providence. And particularly the younger people in our culture, and this is a good thing, are given a tremendous opportunity to gather knowledge. And the person who is diligent in the endeavor will benefit greatly in the future. This great opportunity is given. He will be prepared and equipped to address and overcome the challenges that life will bring his way. Do you realize that all the Egyptians, by the time of the end of that 7-year famine, were completely bankrupt? They owned nothing. They had lost everything. Their land, they had eventually sold off their land in order to buy grain. Pharaoh owned everything in order to get that grain. So they had to part with everything they owned in order to survive. It was not impossible for each of those families to have copied Joseph. Wouldn't have been. On a smaller scale, obviously, but out of the great abundance, saving it up. Instead, they were selling harvest to Joseph at a very low price due to the glut in the market. Storing grain for themselves would have entailed more work than just selling it and getting a quick buck. And so they didn't do that. They didn't go that extra mile. But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. He's putting in that effort and going that extra distance. Missed opportunities are lost opportunities. They don't come back. They're gone. Opportunities are like time. Once it's passed, it's gone. It's not redeemable in a sense of retrieving it when it has been wasted. The Egyptians had no perception about what the future held. They could not contemplate. In this time of abundance, they had this abundant crop. They couldn't contemplate what was coming. Likewise, when you're young, it's easy to squander the opportunities you're given to attain knowledge and wisdom, rather than being diligent in laying up knowledge for that which lies ahead in our lives. Diligence in taking advantage of the opportunity now enables you to be prepared and effective in the future. When you're diligent in seeing and seizing the opportunity, then you are prepared and equipped for the future. To deny the future will throw you any challenges is the mindset of the sluggard who likes to sleep in harvest times and who's totally unconcerned about the future. To think, I do not need to be very prepared for the future, and therefore I can afford to squander my time, is to be like a sluggard. Diligent doesn't presume on the future, but prepares for it, knowing that in a fallen world, being prepared is wise. If you don't believe what I'm saying, I'm particularly speaking to the younger men, then ask any older man in this room, and speak to them about their youth, and how and if they took advantage of all the opportunities that were in their life. Did they take advantage of the time they had? Did they take advantage? And then realize, okay, now you missed those opportunities. Now tell me what it was like when you found yourself in situation X. What was that like? And how prepared were you for situation X? Ask him if he has any regrets now about those squandered opportunities. And I'm confident that you'll get the same answer from everybody. Namely, that they'll mourn the wasted opportunities. They'll look back at the lost time and say, I impoverished myself by doing that, or by not doing that, whatever. Ask them how ill-equipped they feel for the many responsibilities that suddenly land on their shoulders when they enter into manhood and life starts to unravel, or just, you know, the steps of life can be complicated. As a man, you need to be able to conform your personal life to the standard of God's truth, so that the way you act and think in every area of your life brings glory to God. So then, as a husband and a father, the knowledge you need multiplies exponentially. So you need to, as a man, you need to bring every thought captive to Christ. You need to know in every situation you're in what's going to happen. Now you get married and then you have children, and suddenly the amount of information and knowledge you need in order to be a godly husband and lead your wife, instruct her, to do all those things that are necessary there, added to raising children, knowing how to win their hearts, keep their hearts, instruct them in righteousness, as well as dealing in the world front of protecting your family from the many assaults and dynamics that come into your home from the world's attacks, as well as defending them from the greater assault of society, in the sense of society wanting to enslave everybody, and so you standing and doing battle so the next generation don't become slaves. That's a little bit of information you need to have. And that's why we need to be diligent in preparing ourselves. How can you excel in your line of work unless you are knowledgeable in that field? And so we can't serve and protect if we're not solidly grounded upon the truth in any area of life. And we cannot become grounded in God's truth unless we take advantage of the opportunities we are given now. And that's something that is a precious commodity. It's a rich treasure that has been given to us, the opportunities we have now. And one of those opportunities is time. A tremendously rich treasure. Proverbs 19 and verse 15 says, laziness casts one into a deep sleep. It makes you unconcerned about the real challenges that lie ahead. It's like drug addiction, alcoholism, all those vices, where people, because of the pressures and the dynamics of life, often the cases with alcoholism or drug abuse, is the person can't cope with the weight of the responsibilities, with what is facing them. And so what they want is an escape from that, even if it's momentarily, a couple of hours or a couple of days. Let me just go and binge for a couple of days on these drugs. All my troubles will be left behind, so they think. But it's an escape because the responsibilities are weighing upon them, because they do not have the character and the ability and the knowledge to deal with the situation in life and conquer those things or just process all that needs to go into their day-to-day living. But what's happened, they're looking for this momentarily to be driven from their minds. It's kind of like a deep sleep with respect to responsibility about one's problems. That's what laziness casts one into, a deep sleep. That's what we're looking for. I just pretend the future is not a concern at all. And so I'm just going to bomb out. Proverbs 12 and verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." In other words, the lazy person will become a slave. That's the consequence of laziness, is slavery. There's no escaping from the reality of leadership in this life. Someone is going to rule. And when godly people are not ruling, then wicked people will be. That's a given. Look around the world and you'll see that's an absolute given throughout its whole history. Freedom requires God's people to be diligent in all that they do. So they mustn't be sleeping when they should be building up the storehouses, filling up the information, filling up the equipping and the ability so that they can be effective. Those who are negligent in being diligent about gathering true knowledge and applying it to all of life will be enslaved. Those who are not fighting those battles with this knowledge and understanding and the equipping are going to be enslaved. When we squander the time we have been given, then someone else will make us use our time to accomplish their desires. That's what's going to happen. If you do not use your time wisely and effectively and to equip you, someone else is going to take your time. That's what slavery is. And he's going to use your time and say, "You're serving me." That's what happens to a slave, because when people don't diligently use their time for God's purposes, they will be forced to serve man's agenda. One of the characteristics of diligence has to do with faithfully plodding on doing what is at hand, what you've been given to do, that ability to faithfully plod and keep plodding with this thing, neither being overwhelmed nor being discouraged. The diligent person knows that success is through diligence, and thus it is not to be expected instantly. Success doesn't come instantly. It takes time and it takes patience. We are to be about our Father's business, doing God's will. So we are also to rest in His timing and His blessings. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 say, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." See, the hasty person is ultimately the lazy person. And thus, the way he seeks to attain success is according to principles that contradict God's order. He wants instant answers, instant riches, and instant character. He wants things instantly so that he can just chill out. He doesn't want to have to be grinding away at getting the stuff done. The diligent, on the other hand, he plans to obtain his answers and his riches and his character through hard, persistent work. Success is through industry, and therefore making plans that are in line with this is the basis for achieving that success. The hasty person, on the other hand, he wants the security of life instantly. He wants that security to be his and to take hold of it so that he can spend the majority of his time being lazy, being unproductive. His plans are made in terms of his belief that one is able to get rich quick. Rich in knowledge, wealth, and virtue. However, this person is deluded, and thus hasty persons will surely come to poverty. What do you think Joseph's philosophy of life was? It was definitely one of diligently doing what was at hand. That's what he understood. This is what I'm going to do. This is what work has been given to me. I'm going to pour my heart into it, and I'm going to diligently stick it a day in and day out, and it could be for years at end. We mustn't forget, we're not quite sure how long he worked with Potiphar, but can work it out. I don't have it offhand. But you know, when he was in jail as well, there was a number of years where he was in jail, and he's faithfully serving day in and day out, going through the same diligent exercises so that he was reliable and trustworthy. Proverbs 22 and verse 29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." And Joseph is a classic example of the truth of that proverb. A man who is diligent in his work is how the King James translates it. If you see a man who is diligent in his work, he'll stand before kings. What was the reason that Joseph eventually stood before the king? Well, obviously you've got God's providence behind that. But God's providence doesn't work in a vacuum. That is, it doesn't accomplish a project requiring great diligence through a vessel that is lazy. That's not how God's providence works. David's diligence in protecting the sheep, which entailed him using the time he had to develop his skills for the job at hand, how to protect these sheep, and he diligently applied himself to that. That's what God used to defeat Goliath and enable David to subdue all of God's enemies, so that when his son Solomon came to the throne, Solomon had peace in his reign. Because of David's diligence as a warrior, but his preparation was such that he diligently used the time that he had as a shepherd boy. And there we see the hand of the diligent shall rule, as opposed to the slothful would be brought into bondage. And so Israel at that stage, when David confronted Goliath, was on the edge of going into slavery. That's where they were. Because Goliath said, hey, this is the challenge. You become our slaves if I beat your strong man, and we become yours if he beats me. So slavery was on the point there, and there David was equipped and able because of his diligence in training in the mountainside, quiet where nobody's watching, where he could have been, I mean, he had an Xbox, but he didn't play it. Instead, he was being prepared for the task at hand. It is God who exalts, however God exalts those with the character to do the job. Godly people also are on the lookout for this kind of character. They are. Godly people are looking for character, and they'll see it. But how do they recognize it? The diligent. So how is a diligent person made? By practicing diligence, day in and day out, where they find themselves today. That's where the diligence comes in. King Solomon, who composed many of the sayings in Proverbs, we see him acting in accordance with these terms. And this is how he used to rule as king. This is the terms he used these to rule. We read in 1 Kings 11 verse 28, "Then Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph." Seeing he was industrious, seeing he was diligent, seeing he was committed and laboring in a dependable way, he made him and exalted him to a position. So Solomon, who's writing the Proverbs, was practicing these things as well. And my point is there that a godly man who is looking around, he's going to raise up somebody who is diligent. He's going to recognize it and he's going to exalt that person. This characteristic of diligence ought to permeate every aspect of our life. It ought to be exercised in every responsibility that God has given to us, because the Lord is equipping us to be effective in dealing with those things that lay ahead of us. We don't know what they are, but God does. God made David a shepherd boy, which really, you've got to realize, this was bottom of the chore list. Eh? David's brothers were not envious that he was the shepherd boy, I assure you. They were not pleading, "Please, Dad, make me the shepherd boy." They were, in fact, incredibly relieved that David was the shepherd boy. It was a very menial task, a lonely job, and not one that people readily wanted to rush into. But he diligently, despite that fact, diligently made use of the time given to him so that he could faithfully carry out his responsibilities of protecting the sheep under his care. That's what he was doing. He wasn't preparing to fight Goliath. He was merely saying, this is my responsibility, I want to be the best at my responsibility, I'm going to be diligent in laying down my life in this preparation. His diligence back there on the lonely mountainside is what equipped him to defend his nation against the Philistines. This was totally unexpected, and there would have been no time to become good with the sling had he squandered the time he had been given to prepare before this day. There was no time then to go and spend a couple of hours before going to Goliath and saying, maybe I can brush up on this style. He had to be prepared and ready. We must not act as though we are wiser than God, as if we can see the future more clearly than Him. Some things we can be sure about for the future. For example, you can pretty much rest assured that you're going to be a husband and a father one day. That's a pretty safe bet. And thus preparing for that now is wise. How do I prepare for that? Get equipped. You know, when you covenant with your wife and you say, I do, at that moment, that phrase doesn't inject you full of wisdom and knowledge. And suddenly, whoa, that was quite an experience, and make you into a godly husband. The wise person prepares beforehand for such a day and regards the time he has to do this as a very rich blessing from the Lord. I'm given incredible riches to prepare for this, something that I know is almost certain in my future. Time to prepare is of immense value. Can you imagine somebody building a massive mansion for himself and then coming to someone like me and saying, I want you to do the wiring of my house, Derek. And what if the house owner said, don't worry about that, you know, that you have no experience. Once I give you the job and you have the title, you'll be able to accomplish it. How responsible would that man be? He'd be a fool. And godly fathers value their daughters more than any man values a house. And so when he's looking for somebody equipped and trained and ready for his daughter, a desire to marry a godly wife, be diligent preparing to be a godly leader in the home. There's no escaping from diligence in every area of life. You need to be prepared. Marriage is something that you can safely predict lies in your future. However, there are many things that you don't know that lie in your future. Thus, how do you prepare for these things? How do I prepare for such things? By trusting in God's providence. That is, trusting that what He has you doing, or where He has you placed now, and what He is giving you to do now, is equipping you for what lies ahead. That's what it is. You're trusting in His providence. This is the most important thing. Cleaning out a chicken coop is the most important thing I can be doing, and diligently doing that is what is preparing me to face that incredible whatever it is in the future that is going to come across my path. That is why we are to do with our might what our hand finds to do. As David, doing with your might. Your job is protect these sheep. Yes, there's lions and there's bears that are going to come and steal these sheep. You've got to work out how best to do that in this context. Okay, you're on your own, Buster. Now he could sit back and say, you know, who am I to fight against a lion and a bear? But he didn't. He said, okay, I've got to make a plan. I've got to be diligent and give myself to being diligent. And that's what David did. I've mentioned John Calvin before, but his father wanted him to be a lawyer. And Calvin did not want to be a lawyer. But he honored his father's request and went to law school and studied. And then his father died, and only after his father died did Calvin leave law school and go and do what his passion was, which was he wanted to study theology. And he went and now studied theology. But he gave himself diligently to studying of law, because that was his father's will for him. And so he did that. Later on in Geneva, if you read about his involvement in that city, his law background was an incredibly vital part of him helping the city of Geneva to become established as a functioning free society. Incredibly fundamental to the whole ability and organization of what took place there. Calvin had no idea that he was going to serve in the Reformation in this way. He had no idea he was going to reform a city like Geneva, that he would be so instrumental and significant. Neither did his father know this, but his heavenly father did. And therefore he diligently gave himself to what was at hand in preparing for the future, unknowing what the future held for him. Calvin diligently used his time in the law school very effectively, and he was raised up by the law to have generational impact upon God's kingdom. Calvin's influence was foundational, not only to freedoms in Europe, but to the founding and the establishing of the United States and the great liberties that this nation has experienced. Our liberties trace back to Geneva, the political liberties and the political understanding, the functioning of society and what is entailed in that. America is very dependent in a sense and should be very grateful to John Calvin. And this goes back to his diligence of applying the truth and giving his hand and doing with his might to what his hand found to do. Who could have imagined that the diligent labor of a small, frail man would still impact the world for good more than 500 years after he was born? 500 years his ideas are still impacting and bringing great advances with respect to man's understanding of liberty. That is quite a legacy. And so finally, we'll end with one more exhortation from Proverbs, which is Proverbs 4 and verse 23, which says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Basically what it's being saying, this translation, if you're going to protect anything at all, protect your heart. Protect it with everything you've got. Protect it with your might. Guard it more closely than you guard your gold and your other things in life. It's your most valuable possession. You need to be constantly at your post, vigilant in protecting your heart. It is ultimately only God's grace that can keep our hearts, and thus we need to flee to Him and trust in Him and trust in His Word. And vital to protecting our hearts from the many assaults that come to us in this world is being diligent in obtaining knowledge and skills to serve Christ's kingdom. Knowledge about Him, knowledge about His ways, and skills that He sees fit to give us the opportunity to learn. He's giving us opportunity to learn many skills all the time. He's giving us opportunity to learn knowledge many times, from books, from people, from the time we have, as we seek to make use of those opportunities for His kingdom. That is why we are to do with our might whatever our hand finds to do. We are to diligently use the time we have been given, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we do not protect our heart, then everything else is lost. And we protect our heart according to the truth. We protect it in the sense of being diligent so that our heart can be equipped and prepared for labor in the kingdom. May we be diligent in protecting our hearts and diligently giving ourselves to the work at hand, as well as making use of the time to further equip us for greater effectiveness for the Lord. It's through diligence that we too can impact the kingdom for hundreds of years by what we do with the time we have been given in this life. That's what's going to impact the kingdom. And we need to realize that each of us has been given X amount of time, and it's for that one purpose, generational impact, the advancing of God's kingdom. And each of us can be impacting in that way. So I would exhort you to recognize the opportunities and make use of them in order to equip you for that which lies ahead. Are there any comments or additions to that, examples? And you need to be practicing courage as well. It's something that, but you need to exercise. You're given opportunities for courage as well. And it's a growing thing. And you need to understand that courage is, as Bill said, it's not arrogance in your own strength and ability. Because I assure you, when David was walking down that mountainside towards Goliath, he was not dancing a little jig. He realized, this is something way beyond my ability. This is something bigger than me in more ways than one. And courage is something where you're trusting in God, but you're standing on principle. And that's what we need to practice, the principle. And there's opportunities to practice courage by standing on principle many different times. Because, you know, when the bigger battles come, you've got to be exercised in the principle stand. I'm standing on this. This is the truth. And I know the principle. There's knowledge. And the principle is God's truth. And therefore, I'm standing on this. And despite what the enemy looks like. And really, you've got to understand another thing about courage. And that is that many times you'll be scared to death. But you've got to do the right thing anyway. Right. So you mustn't have the wrong view about courage, that it's something that you just feel like you're the gung-ho. I'm just going to conquer everybody in front of me. Courage is something that is, and I like to use this quote from a very reliable source, John Wayne. But it sums up the idea that you need to get a hold of if you're going to stand courageously. And that is, John Wayne was going into battle, and he was the old hardened warrior. And this young guy was with him and said, are you not afraid? You know, he said to the young man, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Because you're standing on principle at that point and saying, I know this is to my death, and I'm not excited about facing this death. But courage requires me to make a stand, and therefore I'm going to stand. And so all these things are part of the knowledge and the part of diligence, applying it to the situations we have in our lives. But rest assured, God knows, and He's bringing little things and opportunities into your life the whole time, every aspect of your life. Is preparing you and equipping you for the future. All right, if there's no more questions, let's spend some time in prayer.